Okay, so I just freaked out because there was no music. Then I was like, wait, that's not even the weirdest thing about this.
Yeah,
so I'm Gilda.
And I'm Steph, and I'm in Gilda's apartment for the first time ever.
Yeah, this is fucking amazing. It's also really weird recording with a person in the, like...
I'm used to looking at my phone on FaceTime.
Right. And I also freaked out earlier. I was like, oh no, how are we going to FaceTime and do this? No, Gilda, no.
That's because we're both really high right now.
Steph smoked her first 2-gram joint ever. I mean, not the whole thing. We split half of it and we'll smoke the other bit later. But yeah.
And I got a pumpkin spice cart. Haven't tried it yet though.
Got the amount of money that has been spent on weed products in the past 2 days is just, it's impressive. It's very fucking impressive.
Astronomical, love. I just realized that this might not come out anytime soon, so it's gonna not be pumpkin spice season, but trust me, it's prime pumpkin spice season right now. I'm not crazy.
No. We are recording this the day before the season 47 premiere.
Woo.
And right. Yeah, so this is gonna come out in about a month because they have 4 weeks on, so this will be the first week in November.
Still late, prime.
Yeah.
Season.
Late. I mean, yeah, so it'll be fine. But yeah, today we are talking about season 2, episode 19. It aired on April 16th, 1977.
And the musical guests were the McGarrigle sisters and Rosalind Kind.
It was also hosted by Elliot.
Oh, Jones. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, that. Yeah. We'll get to the musical acts later. the cold open, we have Elliot Gould, who's negotiating an air package with Russian military or political people.
It was like a colonel and then Gilda Radner. I don't know.
Yeah, she was like the secretary slash the...
Translator.
Like, translator, yes. That works. Yep, there we go. So they're negotiating how it's going to air on NBC and the whole thing with Russia, because at this point it was still very Cold War. And John Belushi comes in and he just keeps demanding more and more.
He's the president.
He wasn't the president.
I thought that's what they said.
I don't think it was Gorbachev. No. Couldn't have been.
I don't know.
Anyway, he was playing a Russian dude who was, like, important. He had medals on. And he was like, I want this and I want that. And every time he demanded something more, he would threaten to, like, go nuclear and, like, hit the button. And
his demands were, like, go on the Johnny Carson show with guest Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, he wanted to go on The Tonight Show. He didn't want to be a guest host. He didn't want to be in the last 15 minutes. And then his last demand was he wanted to say, and he went into and shouted live from New York.
That was kind of cute.
Your formatting is fucking incredible. I feel like a goddamn hack over here. Jesus Christ. I mean, I like take bullet points, and you're writing fully formed paragraphs. Motherfucker.
That's because my memory is not there.
Well, mine isn't either, but I just haven't learned the, oh, we actually need to, like, write and listen to the show and look up, like, try to write while, yeah. I cannot wait to be able to type my notes out whilst having recording on a laptop, because that will be so much easier for me. Like, I can type them onto the iPad.
That's what I was going to do today, but I got too scared.
Yeah.
I didn't want to stray from my normal...
I get it.
You know.
I totally get it. It's weird enough recording in person for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I was legitimately anxious about this earlier.
No, this is never before unprecedented times.
Yeah, no, this is wild, y'all. So, yeah. And he said, yeah, his last demand was live from New York, and we went to the intro.
Yeah, so the monologue started, and the first thing I noticed is that Elliot Gould is wearing a top hat and carrying a cane, and I'm like, what the hell is happening here? And it made sense later, because the real meat of this monologue was something, it was introduced as, like, a dance craze from the 1920s, so I was picturing, like, a 1920s version of a TikTok dance. I don't know. That's where my mind was at, to be honest. I was like, okay, Renegade, you know, whatever. But instead, I got the castration walk, and that was John Belushi, Elliot Gould, and Bill Murray with the top hats and canes singing this song.
Yeah. They were doing different dance moves that basically, it revolved around, them being castrated and them holding their crotches, something about a jewel heist. I did appreciate how goofy it was. Like, it was very well written and very jaunty. It was a very strange choice to open the show, but at the same time, I laughed, which is more than I thought I was going to, so.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I was like, where else would you see this but Saturday Night Live, you know? Like, that's it. There was this one really great part where they were all just wagging their fingers at the same time, and it just visually, I liked it. And also, as they went on, their voices went higher.
Yes. Excuse me. Oh, boy. Oh, no, this is going to be a single audio track. I'm going to have to edit back. Also, something that y'all will have noticed long before you hear this, but we've leveled up in terms of microphones. So this is what we really sound like. This is more than $25 of microphones.
This is the real deal.
Yeah. So
we're over a year into this.
Yeah, we have hit... Yes. So that's another thing. We hit a year a few days ago, and that just felt really fucking awesome. And if you're still listening to this or you're just joining us, I don't know. Thank you. It's been a lot of fucking fun.
Thank you for listening to this journey of... I don't know.
I would say learning how to podcast.
Yeah.
It's an evolution. But yeah, so we then go into the first sketch of the night, which is Coneheads at Home. And we have Elliot Gould from the phone company, and the Coneheads want they want 36 phones in their house. But
Lorraine Newman wants princess phones.
Yeah, she wanted princess phones, which, again, she's, like, consistently, I've said it before, she's consistently the best part of the Coneheads sketch. Like, the rest of it, Jake Curtin's pretty good, Dan Aykroyd, whatever. But no, Lorraine Newman just fucking kills it in this.
She did. Although I did feel like there was one little bit towards the end where, reading from the teleprompter, she kind of got a little bit mixed up doing the voice at the same time.
Yes. She stumbled a little, but at the same time, having to read the cue cards and perform that, yeah, no.
She did so well that whole time.
I see, she recovered nicely, but it was a little obvious. But again, she was, 22 or 23?
Yeah.
Mad
props to her.
Yeah.
Gonna not give mad props to the camera guy, though, because twice I saw the boom mic.
Oh, I saw it way more than twice. It was almost, it was just whoop, boop, boop, booping down from the top of the screen, and that, it took me out of it, actually.
Yeah.
It was very distracting.
Yeah.
Elliot Gould found the Conehead sex rings, a set of them, under Lorraine Newman's bed, and Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd were like, oh my gosh, how dare you, you're too young to know about this. And then they just continue to drink Garrett Morris was in this one too.
Yeah.
I totally blanked on that. Please, yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, so they, as Elliot Gould goes up to do his phone business, the Coneheads receive a message that their friend Murcon is in town. It was said a lot differently than that, but I didn't write down all the lingo. my notes are not that detailed. And it's Garrett Morris, and that was a whole reveal. Everyone laughs. And then we see a lot of the same. Well, we did see Garrett Morris and Dan Aykroyd talk sports.
That was actually quite amusing. typical, what's it, scare quotes, male sports talk, but in Coneheads, stilted. Yes, I did see them kick the,
in their home planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lorraine Newman brings out food. They're all eating pizza and beer, and Dan Aykroyd is smoking a whole pack of cigarettes. They're stuck together.
It was funny visually.
It really was.
It was also we've seen the whole eating in excess.
I know. But that's their alien race. They eat in excess.
Yeah.
and then Elliot Gould has the sex rings. He's like, oh, I found these under the bed in this room when I was installing the princess phones. And Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd are like, how dare you? You're too young for this. And then they just dive into the food. Lorraine Newman sneaks the rings out of Elliot Gould's hands and mimics sex on top of her cone, and he's tossing the rings under her head, and she's coming in the room with her parents and the guest.
She was saying oh baby, it was a lot. It was a whole scene.
It was. There was a lot going on.
And now that I think about it, it wasn't the first whole scene we had that was sexual in nature.
No, it was not. We then went into the McGarrigle sisters, Kate and Anna. They performed Kiss and Say Goodbye. The song was okay, but their voices weren't. They would, like, randomly go in and out of tune, and I was, like, very distracted by that.
Yeah, it just wasn't my thing. Mm-mm. To begin with.
No.
There was a really cool harmonica, but...
Yeah, you do like a good harmonica.
yeah.
It was alright, yeah. It was just very, like, I'd say it was, like, Heart Light. Like, you know the band Heart?
Oh, yeah. Heart Light, yeah.
It's like, it was Heart Light. It was like Heart, it was like soft rock.
Yeah,
heart.
Yeah.
Two
not
sisters.
Quite there, though.
No, they were definitely not quite there. And the pink button down, buttoned up to the collar, the woman on the piano. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We had a segment titled, You've Come a Long Way, Buddy. And this was basically like a parody of the whole like woman's, like all women's, whatever. And this was an all man's, all men run show.
Yeah.
Panel. The whole production crew was men. And they made a whole little deal of it. And the panel was Bill Murray, Garrett Morris, Elliot Gould, it was his show, I think.
Yeah.
And then John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. They all represented different organizations that were, you know, focusing on men's issues. Dan Aykroyd was an artist. Garrett Morris was a representative from the Black Young Men's Group, or a Black Young Men's Group. Bill Murray, I cannot remember what he was from. And
Bill Murray had it was like a bar where you go to just talk.
Jesus, yeah.
I don't know, it was weird.
And John Belushi, trigger warning, had a rape hotline. And we'll get into that in a little bit.
But what you're thinking right now is probably right.
Yeah. they were go through different works of art, and and this was done by a great man, and Leonardo da Vinci, he was a man, and...
The camera guy fucked up here, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he was talking about Picasso, but the camera was dead on The Last Supper, da Vinci. I'm like, is this man okay? Because then after talking about Picasso, he went into talking about that painting, and
yeah.
So he had to stay on that for a very long time.
It was very odd.
Yeah.
He said we listened to men's music while we were looking at men's art. Bill Murray had the Not Just a Meat Rack bar.
Yeah.
Sorry, I wrote in the margins today. That's new. and then we get to John Belushi, who, again, if this is triggering, please skip ahead a couple bits, either 10 or 15 seconds. Just hit it like 4 times. Yeah, he ran a 24-hour rape hotline, and it's... He said, invariably, a man is very upset after he commits a rape, and he needs someone to talk to, and rapists are too afraid to go to the police, and they're treated with disrespect by the police.
Because the police psychiatrists are usually women, is
yes.
what he said.
He said it was humiliating, and he was there to advise rapists of their rights. He said he made sure their name was not printed in the papers, and it's basically a rape evasion hotline.
Basically.
That was the joke. And I don't even know what, like, I don't even know why the fuck that was included in this. It was just disgusting.
It was over the top, I thought. Like,
it was so detailed.
Yeah.
Like, they could have glossed over it. It still would have been bad, but they didn't have to go into how the... myriad of ways they were going to help men get away with rape.
Yeah, because when they talked about not having your name printed in the newspaper, he had this line where it was like, oh, even today, that can ruin a man's life. It was just horrible.
Fuck you! It's like, how about we don't rape women and ruin their lives?
Yeah.
You know? That would be fucking easy. Apparently fucking not. Anyway, yeah, so that's how that sketch ended.
And like, the rest of the sketch wasn't bad, but
no.
That was a horrible way for it to end, a horrible detail for it to have.
A fucking weird turn. Like, it was like, all right, haha, funny, they're teasing. Yeah. Mm-mm. No. It went from, like, yes, they're mocking women's only things, which still fine, not great, but I get, you know, they're just doing the satirical opposite. the hotline was not needed.
No. Like, you don't need to be violent against women. No. That's not part of it.
It's not funny.
Like, that's taking this to a place that doesn't need to go.
No. No. No one need, again, it's a late night comedy show. How many women saw that and were instantly, like, sick to their stomachs? Oh, wait, me?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I can't even fucking imagine. No. Like, hey, I mean, I can, but you know what I mean? Like, but watching it live, just, like, seeing that happen in real time.
And
like,
the audience was laughing, too.
Oh, my God, the audience was so loud.
They were into it.
It was, that was honestly, the laughter was what made us, I mean, it was already sick, but the laughter was what put it over the top, because it's like, oh, this is a joke to them.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, imagine being in that audience. You're telling me there were women in that audience that hadn't been assaulted? Fuck that. No. Like, yeah.
Fucking New York. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well.
Yeah. So, we went into Weekend Update, and Jane Curtin went right into the news, basically. Although she did do that little bit where she looked at the wrong camera, but it was done kind of awkwardly and glossed over. Anyways, the first headline or the top story of the night was that Wrigley, the guy, I didn't write down his first name, just his last name, Mr.
The
Wrigley,
gum guy.
The gum guy, has died, and per his wishes, his remains were stuck to the bottom of a counter.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Lillian Carter said she went to jail for spanking Jimmy Carter for doing something, it was some campaign, it was, he didn't do something. I can't remember what it was, but when asked why she spanked the president, she said, "I always spank him when he breaks a promise." And I thought that was a fun roundabout way to get to the, oh, Jimmy Carter's already not doing great as president. So, you know.
Yeah. We went into a little segment with Bill Murray as a correspondent for a rally that was, like, against pornography being shown in New York. And this whole, like, report that he has was just full of innuendos. The whole thing read like erotica, basically.
Yeah, extremely sexual imagery. I felt like this was very clearly Bill Murray trying out for Weekend Update. It was just like, because, okay, so it gets to the end of the sketch, and she's like, oh, okay, Bill, you know, the story's over, you can go now. And he's like, no, I can't, it would be embarrassing. And so it's like, okay, haha, he has a boner. And so she's like, okay, well, here are the headlines. And so she hands him a stack, and then they proceeded to toss jokes back and forth to one another. And as we know, Dan Aykroyd is at some point going to take over. He's going to become a co-host of Weekend Update. And so I feel like the next few weeks we're going to see different people kind of doing the same shtick to try out and gauge the audience reactions. So.
He did pretty good.
I liked it.
Yeah, there was this bit about, like, a filter that makes it so that way you can smoke cigarettes without getting cancer, except the filter is a fucking mouse. So it's like the first part of the cigarette's in the mouth, and then, like, maybe it was the other way around, but I think
the end is at the butt.
Yeah. And Bill Murray was holding it, and he was like, you know, this will appeal to you if you like to smoke and also hold small animals.
Which, I mean, I do, but they're alive and they're cats.
They're not my cancer filter.
No. Look at that little.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a bit about Howdy Doody, the puppet.
Oh, and, yeah. Another one of those.
Yeah, he left a note before he jumped in the fire. Then Lorraine Newman was speaking to his wife, Debbie Doody.
And Gilda.
Gilda, yeah, she was portrayed by Gilda. And Lorraine Newman was, like, trying to interview her, but Gilda Radner was just jumping around and hopping around like a marionette. And she keeps, like, jumping on Lorraine Newman, who, when Gilda Radner pulls her off stage, you can see that Lorraine Newman is just absolutely dying with laughter.
It was so cute.
It really was. Like, they're all, like, you can, I mean, we've seen it before, but they're starting to have more fun more regularly.
Yeah.
You can tell they're becoming comfortable in their roles.
Yeah.
And like, oh, okay, we can be a bit goofy. We're not going to lose our jobs.
Right.
So, yeah.
But then we had a John Belushi segment, and as all John Belushi Weekend Update segments go, he went way off and was ranting and not listening to Jane when she said to stop, and he fell off his chair at the end.
Yep.
But it was kind of funny.
The first part, he was like the meteorologist, and he was doing weather examples with, like, a desk lamp, a spray bottle, mothballs, paper confetti and a fan. And he's like, this is snow, this is rain, this is lightning. And like that watching...
You're showing us people who don't leave their houses.
Right, yes, yes. And it's like, I don't know, watching him with props was really funny. But it when it took the turn of, like, he went into how insurance was a scam.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then it was, like, an anti-India rant and pro-America and then anti, like, Mexico.
And Japan.
And whenever Jane, yes, and, yeah, because he went after sushi. Fuck that. Sushi's awesome. Right.
Everyone laughed. I was like, you silly fuckers probably loved sushi when I got big.
And every time Jane Curtin tried to stop him, he would, like, physically threaten her and make a fist, and she was, like, cowering. And yes, fine, haha, it's a joke, but again, why is physical violence funny? It's not, like, no. This is not, yeah, it was way too long.
Yeah, it was just, like, uncomfortable.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was the very end of Weekend Update.
That was a real interesting note to go out on.
Yeah.
We went into, oh God, I can't remember the title of this. It was on the notable SNL sketch page.
It's Nick the Lounge Singer.
Thank you. yeah, it was Bill Murray performing, I write the songs, or I don't know. He was Nick Summers. It was like a cheesy, shitty lounge singer. Al Franken was one of the audience members in the background. Dan Aykroyd had a fish with him, and I was like, of course it's him. Paul Schaefer's playing the piano. Gilda Radner and John Belushi are on an anniversary, but they're, like, very unhappily married.
As they always are when they play husband and wife.
Yeah. No love lost between those two, it seems. Elliot Gould and Lorraine Newman were very clearly having an affair. Bill Murray said something about Indians not lying, and I didn't like that.
No.
Yeah, I didn't like this. It was just very uncomfortable the entire time.
Yeah, there was one part where Bill Murray tries to get everybody in this sketch audience to participate in some little audience participation dancing, and nobody does, and that's just like, ugh.
Yeah. The next sketch was kind of it was terrifying. Ugh. And Joan Crawford.
Yeah, the next sketch was Joan Crawford speaking for the United Face Bank.
Yeah. So she was sitting with a person who didn't have a face. It was just a bunch of pantyhose pulled over her face. As someone who's very claustrophobic, really fucking hated that. But she is like, oh, if you're born without a face, you don't have eyes or nose or mouth or ears or this, that, the other thing. And this is kind of what it looks like. And the screen cuts to black. Okay, that's funny. Then they bring in Garrett Morris, a recipient of a face transplant, but it was a white little girl?
Yeah, an 11-year-old girl.
Yes, and honestly, it was terrifying.
It looked pretty legit.
It looked so real, and it took me a minute to realize he wasn't wearing, like, a mask over his face, but rather it was painted onto his face.
Props to the makeup department for this one.
Fuck, I was unsettled. So yeah, good to go. So, and it was, she has said, oh, look in the cabinet for a new, he's like, can I look in the cabinet to see if they have a black face? And she's like, sure. And yeah, the ad ends with, I believe Don Pardo saying, United Face Bank, people without faces never have a nice day. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, that was such a weird thing for them to say. Like, mm-hmm. I just thought it was strange. Like, people are probably born without many of the facial features.
I mean, I think if you don't have any of them, I don't think it's going to go that well for you.
Yeah.
That being said, this just felt like a very weird, very weird sketch. I think we all know who probably came up with that.
Yeah, because he didn't have bedtime stories tonight.
No, he didn't have bedtime stories, so we had time to write something else equally as terrifying.
Yeah, the face fridge, definitely.
Really. When they got to the face fridge, I think it was like, okay, this probably isn't an Al Franken bit.
No, he would never do that to us.
Fuck no, I hope not. We went into
Gary Weiss's film.
Yes, the Gary Weiss film, which I had seen this before. Oh. And I didn't know it was a Gary Weiss film. I just, like, seen it on YouTube or at some, like, in some sporting playlist or funny sports things. cool. I thought it was funny. Elliot Gould introduces it, saying, oh, people think, you know, athletes, they only play for money. And, well, here we have a film that shows that's not true.
And it's patriotic music with a montage of sports players getting into, like, physical fights.
Yeah, I believe it was America the Beautiful by Ray Charles.
Yes, yeah. And it was all hockey, baseball,
basketball, all of them. Football. Yeah, honestly, it was one of the most artistic things that he's done. It was kind of weirdly beautiful. It's like, yep, this is America. America the Beautiful. It's grown men getting paid millions and millions of dollars to fight. Yeah. Great. Next page.
We had the McGarrigal sisters sing Heart Like a Wheel. This was like pre-Lana Del Rey, emo, like, very sad. I wrote down one lyric, what's the use of living with no true lover? I was like, okay.
Oh, it's like, ladies, this is a comedy show. Hang on. McGarrigle sisters, heart, like, oh my God.
They were Canadian.
What?
They were Canadian.
Oh, I thought you said they were comedians, and I'm like, I don't think so.
Not funny.
Okay. So, because we are, we were very high, and I both needed food for my little gremlins, but I know you're not supposed to feed the gremlins, but that's after midnight, so I feed them before midnight. Anyway, I had Amazon delivered, and it got delivered in the middle of this, and I got up, and Steph was like, do you want me to pause it? And I was like, nah, if you could make it stop, that would be much better. Some of the lyrics to this song, some say a heart is just like a wheel. When you bend it, you can't mend it. My love for you is like a sinking ship, and my heart is on that ship out in mid-ocean. They say that death is a tragedy. It comes once and it's over. But my only wish is for that deep, dark abyss, for what's the use of living with no true lover? Was that really it?
No, there was definitely a lot more.
There was definitely a lot more than this. This is only like, oh no, there is no way. This went on for fucking ever.
I was like, girl, get it together.
Right. Oh my God. Well, they had more verses on this fucking show, and none of them are showing up here, and it's making me very sad. I can't watch this again.
No, it was horrible.
What I can't understand, oh please God hold my hand, is why it should have happened to me. Like, it's all, it can wreck a human being and turn him inside out. Like, no. It literally, Lana Del Rey looks like a fucking picnic in a field of daisies compared to this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, not fam. Make a stop. There was an ATM sketch, which was just Bill Murray and Garrett Morris fucking around on screen. Kind of funny.
Basically, yeah. There was like a security test that the ATM put them through. And this was on like a literal, like, TV screen, it looks like, a round screen.
Yeah.
And first it was just, like, very basic, like, are you smarter than a fifth grader type questions, but then it got to be, like, a driving test.
Yeah. I think it was Bill Murray trying to convince, because I guess ATMs probably knew at that point.
Yeah.
That seems like a very weird concept to me, because they've always existed, but, or at least in my lifetime. So yeah, and then they get to the test, and then it's like, alert, the U.S. banking system has turned to head cheese instead of, like, the gold standard or paper money or what the fuck ever, I don't know.
Paper.
Thanks. Very fucking high right now. Yeah, was it fraud? Was the joke just ATMs are new? Haha, the government made money meat? Like, or cheese, or what the hell, like, you know what I mean? Like, what?
It was wacky.
Weird. I mean, I giggled, but more because I didn't understand it, and I was like, hey, what's going on? Yeah.
Okay. The next sketch was taking place in a restaurant called Natural Causes Restaurant, and this was run by, Lorraine Newman and Dan Aykroyd, with the Keith Raniere hair, ponytail and everything.
Yeah, I caught Lorraine Newman's name as Sunset. I don't know what his name was, but it was bad.
Equally bad, yeah.
And the menu changed every day because they only use meat that the animals died of, quote-unquote, natural causes. Which could be getting hit by a car. Which, Fun story. When Gilda was little, Gilda lived in the middle of Appalachia, or Appalachia, or however the fuck you want to say it. But my mother, we lived in one state for a year and then moved to a different state in the same area-ish, but the driving laws were different. My mother was studying for the driving test, and when she got to the section on the preservation of roadkill, because you were supposed to call it in and, like, verify the freshness of it, so because people would take it home to cook, and there were restaurants where you could bring your own roadkill in. Like, if you hit a deer, you could bring the food into a restaurant, but it had to be, like,
wow,
within X amount of time of it being dead, and you had to call the county animal coroner. My mother was like, fuck this! Don't need a license in this state. It's like, this doesn't expire, we just moved here, we're not staying long. So, yeah, this does exist, or at least it did exist in some places. And granted, that was a few decades ago. But, yeah, no.
Great. Did not know that.
Yeah, so this was eerily similar to something I've known about for a very long time. And they're like, oh, we have lamb on the menu, leg of lamb. And, oh, wow, you're lucky. It's gonna be fresh. He's in the back dying of anthrax. I was like, oh my fucking god.
And then, like, throughout the sketch, Lorraine Newman goes to check on the sheep. And the first time she comes back, she says, bad news, he's still alive.
He's still,
like,
wheezing.
Yeah, something like that. And then, like, the next time she comes back and she says, bad news, he's perking up a bit.
Yeah, it was very disgusting, but it was like, oh, we've heard so much about this. It was in this magazine. And yeah, they had fresh cat, which I took extreme offense to. And they're like, well, we have steak. Like, you have steak. All these weird things, oh, you have steak. Dan Aykroyd's like, yeah, it fell from the sky. He's like, you're okay. Uh-huh.
It fell from the sky when Mexican smugglers were bringing it.
Yes.
A detail that had to be included.
Had to be. And as they've done in the past, they have dropped that fucking cow from the ceiling again. Like, I should have seen that coming. I didn't, and it made me laugh.
It was cute. I liked it.
Yeah.
I like the ridiculous, like, far out, like, those characters. Lorraine Newman does a really good job with it. And Dan Aykroyd.
I mean, yeah.
Always.
Always with the food stuff. We had a performance by Rosalind Kind. She performed I'm Not Anyone. She is the younger half-sister of Barbara Streisand. And as we all know, Elliot Gould was married to Barbara Streisand, and they had a son together. And Elliot Gould introduced Rosalind Kind as my son's aunt, which definitely does sound better than my ex-sister-in-law. So, you know, props to him for that.
I didn't even really catch that. I wondered why he did it in such a weird way. I was like, his son's aunt? What the fuck is this man talking about?
Yeah, because Barbara.
Probably better. Or he could have just said her name, honestly.
I mean, yeah. Like,
normal people typically do.
Yeah. I wish she'd sung the first song by the fucking McGargling sisters or whatever. I don't know what they were called. Like, the first song with her voice.
McGargling.
But I wasn't far off.
I don't think so.
No. McGarrigle, whatever. I wish she'd sung the first song. She had a really nice voice. I actually liked her voice better than Barbara Streisand's. Like, I wish she'd become the more famous one, but whatever.
She had a great voice.
She did have a good voice. I just don't want to get canceled by Barbara Streisand herself. anyway.
Our home movie was a Mr. Bill film, but instead of being, like, stop motion, Mr. Bill was a puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, I assumed it was Mr. Bill. He looked very Mr. Bill-esque.
He did.
And then the whole sketch was him being beat the fuck up because, a guy catches Mr. Bill cheating, or
catches his wife cheating with Mr. Bill. I didn't even put it was Mr. Bill together. I was like, oh, a creepy clown puppet, okay.
Yeah.
But Mr. Bill makes more sense. Yeah, they get into a knockdown, drag out, the clown dies, and the couple, like, snuggle and then, like, walk back to a bedroom. And I'm like, what the fuck weird kind of foreplay was this?
Like, right? I was like, you can't just do that
after
killing Mr. Bill.
Fuck.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
They replayed Pilsen's feedback dinner from episode 9.
Of this season?
Very season,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yes, okay.
Because I remember it aired after Chevy Chase left.
Right, yes,
but
okay.
It's Chevy Chase's
Chevy Chase's, yeah. So God only knows when the fuck it was originally from, but I don't know why we needed to see this again. And he's not in the cast anymore.
Right.
Like, there have been a number of sketches that you could have, you could have used anything.
They should have done a whole, like, other sketch, because then at the very end, they had a whole 60 seconds of extra time to kill.
Yeah.
And nobody knew how to act.
Elliot Gould, everyone was just, like, standing in the background talking. Elliot Gould was, like, ambling around the stage looking stoned as fuck.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm okay, well, we have 60 seconds, I don't know what to do. And Dan Aykroyd comes up, and he's like, hey, I got this old motorcycle, I have tanks on it that are this size, and I need this size, and if you have them, write to me, and I will pay you good money, thank you. And everyone's dying up there, and it's like, yeah, just let them fucking be funny. Like, that was hilarious. That was honestly one of the things I enjoyed fucking most in this show. And that's sad.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd made me laugh.
Yes.
Tonight.
Oh my God. All right. What didn't work for you? What was the, oh, not No No the Night. What did I have earlier? Nope of the Night. I was like, what's the Nope of the Night?
The Nope of the Night is going to be You've Come a Long Way, Buddy.
Yep. Again, it would have been mediocre if it weren't for the weird rape turn.
Not necessary at all.
Not necessary at all. And I don't know, the fact that John Belushi was doing it just made it worse.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't want to say it made it worse, because, like, if it was Dan Aykroyd that had done that, it would have broken my heart.
Oh my God, yeah. Well, he would just not.
Well, right.
I just don't think he would do it.
I would hope not, but Jesus Christ, we have three more. Please don't say that. God, we have three more episodes to this season, and this season has been rough.
Yeah, and when it comes to men, you really never know.
No, you don't. Runner-up.
My runner-up for the night was probably the Gary Weiss, America the Beautiful with the sports.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Okay. My runner-up is The Cold Open. I thought The Negotiation was really funny, and that John Belushi's character was just obsessed with getting on American TV and, like, being, like...
He was willing to start a nuclear war over it.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was funny, and I appreciated... I don't know. There was just something about it that really set the show off to a good vibe. That being said, my best was the Gary Weiss film.
Yeah.
So, that's why you said that, and I'm like, that's not what I have written down for my best. Why do I have... I don't even want to say what I had. It's just bad. Anyway, go on.
My best for the night was the Natural Causes restaurant. There were some bits of this I didn't like, but for the most part, I was kind of really cracking up at particularly Dan Aykroyd's character.
Yeah. You definitely have more of a soft spot for Dan Aykroyd than I do. I just thought that sketch was gross. I was like, ah, gross roadkill. No, thank you.
I thought it was great. Oh. Like, there was this one line where Dan Aykroyd was like, oh, the racehorse struck by lightning with pita bread and hummus was really good.
It was like mill ground pita. It was like mill ground grain pita bread. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it for the first ever in-person Saturday Night High. You can find us wherever you're listening to us now, wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
And... you can also find us on social media. We're on Reddit, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook at SatNightHighPod. Night is spelled N-I-T-E on Twitter.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review. And you can reach us at SatNightHighPod@gmail.com. We also have a website, SatNightHighPod.com. And until next time, happy highs.
Happy highs.